I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jack. Last Sunday, we talked about 15 minutes of fame. Talked about what it means for many of us to have our 15 minutes of fame. Not everybody gets to have that, but some do. And they're remembered for about 15 minutes. Then there's looking in all the wrong places. Now we're going to go from 15 minutes of fame to a great song. Have you ever heard this one? "I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of, hoping to find a friend and a lover. I'll bless the day I discover another heart looking for love." How does that go with 15 minutes of fame? Well, I'll tell you. 15 minutes of fame is short-lived. It's media publicity or celebrity of an individual or a phenomenon. The expression is credited to Andy Warhol, who might be considered someone who was looking in all the wrong places. When we read of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we read how the people lined the road, laying their garments, cloaks, palm leaves, and other plants in the path Jesus traveled. And they cheered for him and shouted, "Hosanna in the highest." Do you know what that means? What does Hosanna mean? It means save, rescue, Savior. So Jesus was being lauded as a Savior, as a rescuer. Luke tells us, "As he was now drawing near at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Savior, rescuer. Why do you think the stones would cry out? There were so many that Jesus had saved. There were so many that he restored. A withered hand, leprosy, death, bringing them back. There is so much to rejoice. But Jesus was getting his 15 minutes of fame on that road because everybody was cheering. Even his disciples cheered. It's a great thing about crowds. You get a group of folks together, and they can really cause a commotion. We see it on TV all the time. group of people get together, all kinds of things happen. I was just hearing this morning about something in Las Vegas. People started fighting in a casino, did tons of damage. We see it when somebody is protesting, crowds get together, people jump in. There are people who don't even know what's going on, but if there's a crowd, they want to be a part of it. So here's these people who never saw the miracles that Jesus performed, but heard about it. And they saw a crowd, and they joined in. That's what the crowd gave Jesus, because after this, they disappeared. At least when it came to supporting our Lord at his trial. When it came down to it, they shouted, "Give us Barabbas." But notice, we are not told that any of these folks ever actually saw a miracle that Jesus performed. In fact, let us look at what the Gospel of John tells us. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he's done these signs. What sign did they hear about? John tells us what they heard about is when he raised Lazarus. They'd heard about that. They didn't see it, but they heard about it, and they were excited. And they thought, oh boy, this guy brings people back from the dead. So they joined in. But who, if anyone, in your mind, remained loyal to Jesus during the time of his trial, during his crucifixion? St. Lawrence was martyred in 258 A.D., but we remember him not for his martyrdom. We remember him as the Archdeacon of Rome. His responsibilities included maintaining the sacred vessels of the small, struggling church and distributing alms to the poor. While he was archdeacon, the governor of Rome took Pope Sextus captive and demanded, "Where is the treasure of the church?" The Pope would not tell, and they tortured him to death. Next, the Romans took Lawrence captive. "Where is the treasure of the church?" they demanded, threatening with the same fate that befell the Pope. Lawrence replied, "Governor, I cannot give it to you instantaneously, but if you give me 3 days, I will give you the treasure." The governor agreed, and Lawrence left. 3 days later, he walked into the governor's courtyard, followed by a great crowd of people. The governor walked out onto his balcony and said, "Where is the treasure of your church?" Lawrence stepped forward and pointed to the crowd that accompanied him. The lame, the blind, the deaf, the nobodies of society, and said, "Here are the treasures of the Christian church. Here are the treasures." Looking in all the wrong places, people want to look for gold and silver and anything that they can take and spend. But sometimes, and in the case of our Lord, that treasure, my friends, is you. You're the treasure of the church. You. Jesus didn't care about gold, silver, or anything like that. He did care about you. And that's what we celebrate this day of resurrection, this day in which he came to be with us and walk with us. What the crowd did not treasure, that is God's Son, God treasured. While you and I may not be the President of the United States, a king, a queen, a pope, bishop, or other high-ranking official in the world, God says, you are my treasure, to whom I sent my only Son. You are of value to me regardless of your station in life. You are my children, all of you, all of you. 2015 has been declared the year of evangelism here at Central Christian Church. Now, you might ask yourselves, just exactly what does that mean? Does it mean we want numbers to fill the pews? Well, if that happens, it would certainly be a good thing. But it's not the purpose of our evangelism. It is not the why of evangelism. The why is to provide something spiritual, a gift from Christ to you and to those around you. The people of the community, of our area, as far as our ministry can reach, whether it be inclusion, hope, love, a listening heart, or a warm hand, that is what evangelism is about. I'd love to see these pews filled. But even more, I'd love to see people's hearts filled. You see, that's what true evangelism is all about. Here at Central Christian Church, we understand the unchurched, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the seemingly nobodies of society. We understand that there are people here in this crowd that are lonely at this very moment in the midst of a crowd. We understand there are people who are hurting and suffering and who have lost a loved one. And that is the treasure that we seek here. Receive the Holy Spirit. Know that you are loved and valued, not only by our Lord and Savior, but by us. That's the message we need to be putting out. Let's not just go into the world and say, God loves you. Let's not go into the world and say, Jesus loves you. What if we went into the world and we said, I love you. My church loves you. We care about you. We want to help you. You see, that's what true evangelism is, getting the message of Christ out to all God's children, all God's children. The more folks we have to accomplish this mission and ministry, the better. Now let me ask you this. What is the purpose in attending church? Do you wish to learn the meaning of the scripture? Or is it to listen to the sermon, to hear the message? Perhaps it's to go to Sunday school and have a lesson on a particular passage or book in the Bible. Or could it be that you attend to learn how to be a disciple? That is, to learn how to be a follower of Christ and spread the gospel. You see, if you would like your 15 minutes of fame, try living the gospel, not just hearing it. If you would like your 15 minutes of fame, what are you willing to sacrifice? To be not just hearers, but doers. That is, actively working to spread the gospel. Sacrifice, there's a word for you. Sacrifice changes everything once a sacrifice of one's self is made. That's what we talk about. We're going to move on from 15 minutes of fame. What we want is to make it eternal. Two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by the river. One ran after the other up a large mound of sand. Unfortunately, the mound was not solid, and their weight caused them to sink in quickly. When the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and neighbors organized a search. They found the younger brother unconscious with his head and shoulders sticking out above the sand. When they cleared the sand to his waist, he awakened. The searchers asked, "Where is your brother?" And he said, "I'm standing on his shoulders." Sacrifice. Sacrifice. You see, that didn't get 15 minutes of fame, because that's not really what we're about. What that got was eternal glory, eternal love. With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother lifted the younger to safety. The tangible and sacrificial love of the older brother literally served as a foundation for the younger brother's life. That's what we want, to serve as a foundation for people's lives. With the sacrifice of his own life, Jesus lifted us to safety. No longer did we have 15 minutes of fame, neither did he, but eternal fame. He gave the tangible and sacrificial love that literally serves as the foundation of our lives. You see, what the crowd turned into, what appeared to be 15 minutes of fame, became the eternal message of God's love for us. For God is not a 15-minute God, but a God eternal. I was reading this article by Brian Doyle. It talks about hummingbirds. I don't know if you've ever studied hummingbirds, but they're very interesting. Hummingbirds have race car hearts. They eat oxygen at an eye-popping rate. Their hearts are built of thinner, leaner fibers than ours. Their arteries are stiffer and more taut. Their hearts are stripped of the skin for the war against gravity and inertia, the mad search for food, the insane idea of flight. They're tiny little birds and their hearts beat 10 times a second. So even if you put your huge ear to its chest, it would be hard to discern the heartbeat. The price of their ambition is a life closer to death. They suffer more heart attacks and aneurysms and ruptures than any other living creature. It's expensive to fly. You burn out. You fry the machine. You melt the engine. The biggest heart in the world is inside the blue whale. It weighs more than 7 tons. It's as big as a room. It is a room with 4 chambers. A child could walk around it head high, bending only to step through the valves of the heart. The valves are as big as the swinging doors in a saloon. This house of a heart drives a creature 100 feet long. Every creature on earth has approximately 2 billion heartbeats to spend in a lifetime. You can spend them slowly like a tortoise and live to be 200 years old, or you can spend them fast like a hummingbird and live to be 2 years old. The question is today, what kind of heart do you have? Do you have a heart that says you want 15 minutes of fame, or do you have a heart that says, I want eternity, not just for me, but for those around me? Is it beating to the rhythm of songs of praise to God? Or is your pulse set to the city, the job, the constant striving for possessions and property, the ways of the world? That is the question that we ask ourselves on Easter Sunday, the day that our Lord was resurrected and gave us new life. Do you want 15 minutes of fame or an eternity of service to our Lord? Are you a crowd or are you for Christ? Today we celebrate our Lord, a risen Lord, who gave his life that we may have life eternal. Today, we dispense with any notion of 15 minutes of fame. If we do the evangelism, if we do all the things to touch hearts of other people, we're reaching for eternity because what we do goes on and on through the years. And remember that the treasure of the church is you. It's you. That's pretty special. Because that is who our Lord gave his life for. It's for you and me. We have our beautiful Easter lilies. Many of them are in memory of those who have passed. Some are in honor of others. We have a beautiful flowered cross. We have so many things around here to remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. That the Lord Jesus Christ remembers all of us, whether we are or have been. What we have is eternity. Let's not look in all the wrong places. If we want to look for what the Lord wants us to do, let us look to each other and to those around us. Let us serve those around us and in our community and around the world so that our Lord's name will be known. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for each one here, for their lives, for their love, for their work, for all that they do, Lord. We give you thanks because we know that their hearts are set on you. And we ask that you go with us as we go out these doors, that all may know that we are your children, that we are your treasure, and that we're not looking for 15 minutes of fame, but we're looking for eternity. Be with us, hold us, and love us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.